Welcome to The Firehouse, the show dedicated to the brave men and women who serve our community.
Hello, how's everybody feeling? And welcome. I am your host, Chris Moses. And today, sitting with me in the firehouse is my boy, Darnell Perrien. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did, sir. Yes, you did. I was worried, too, but you got it.
Perrien,
right?
That'll
be money, brother.
There we go. What's going on, brother?
How you going, brother? What up, Super? What up, Chris? How you feeling?
I'm good. You call me Super.
I'm just checking. That's a surprise.
Yeah, that's funny. Just for the listeners to know, everybody knows me as Super, not as Chris Moses, as you all know me as the host, Chris Moses. But everybody else knows me as Super, which is written on my arm for the people that are watching. It's written on my arm.
That's how I met you with Super. Chris Moses. Like, who's this Chris Moses?
Guy? Some people even know who that is.
I had to write that down on my arm when I came here. Like, make sure I said the right guy.
All good. But listen, we're here to talk about you today. So
let's do it.
Tell me a little bit about what department you're in, what company, how long you've been in, what ranks you've held. Just tell me a little bit about you and your service as a volunteer, you know, fireman.
Yeah,
and
of course. Yeah, so I started my career this summer would be 20 years.
Wow. Oof,
I know, catching up.
20 years ago.
The fire department. Am I allowed to say fire departments?
Of course.
All right, so yeah, I started 20 years ago in the Freeport Fire Department.
Okay.
Where I held the rank as a lieutenant.
Okay.
Chief dive tender for the water rescue dive squad.
Okay.
Host 5, shout out to Host 5, my first home.
Host 5, what up?
Host company number one, where I resigned from, and I transferred over to, I did 10 years in Freeport and resigned out of Freeport, and went over to Unidale for a little stint.
There we go, Unidale.
In the rescue company. And yeah, now I'm currently a member in Lakeview Fire Department.
Lakeview, yeah. There we go, Lakeview. So that was what I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
I wasn't sure. I thought it was Lakeview, but I wasn't sure.
No.
So it's Lakeview.
Lakeview, yeah. I've been in Lakeview about a year now. It's pretty
okay.
Cool. It's pretty calm.
Okay.
That's my volunteer side, career side. I'm an airport fireman.
Okay.
We respond to airplane crashes. I'm sorry.
So what airport?
Republic Airport in Farmingdale.
Republic Airport.
Yeah, that's for now. My next step is MacArthur, if I can get
MacArthur.
There. MacArthur. Right.
Is it hard to get over there?
It's a super service test. That's a waiting list. But I put my working at Republic, got my foot in the door with all the training that I need.
Okay.
So instead of going out there and interviewing and then have to go through the school and everything and do the training, I already have everything I need to take the test and hopefully interview well and get the job for MacArthur Airport.
That's good. So yeah. That airport fireman, so that's something that a lot of people don't know,
mm-hmm.
Right? A lot of people don't know about that. In my heyday, I was a fireman on Rikers Island.
Okay.
And a lot of people didn't know.
I didn't know that either.
That they even had that. So
yeah.
That kind of is the same as the airport. Like, you think about it, you would need.
You would need it.
You
just
need
like
firemen.
You need
anything
it.
Anything can happen. Fire can happen anywhere.
Anyway.
So what? You know what? Before we even get into that, which I'm going to want to ask you, first start with what even inspired you to be a fireman? This is kind of what I kind of start with every single time, because the job of a fireman is pretty crazy.
It is.
Everybody's running this way. You're running that way.
Yeah.
At what age made you say, you know what? I want to start as a fireman. And you started in volley, right?
Yeah, I started in volley.
You started volley, and then you moved over and said, I want to be paid. So even that's huge.
Yeah.
Like, some people like myself, I'm like, hey, I'm a volley, but I didn't want to go paid. You wanted to take that next step.
Yeah,
do that.
You know.
So what do you think?
I started as a volley 18 years old. Again, those two reasons. I worked at Jones Beach State Park, where everybody around me who worked EMS was a volley. And I said, I wanted to do this, and I didn't have the courage. It's funny, because the person who got me to knock at the door one day at the Freeport Fire Department was Fitzroy Morgan, who happens to be a commissioner.
That. We're going to have him on this show, too.
He's a commissioner.
Setting him up.
In Unidale. We came up together, and he went with me to knock on the door. One of my first firehouses in Freeport, and it was history then. And
wow.
Without him, I probably wouldn't be sitting here right now. So I got to give a shout out to Fitzroy.
Shout out to Fitzroy.
I didn't have the nerves. I didn't have the nerves, and he took me, he picked me up, we went in his car, and we were knocking on doors, and then I did it, and here I am 20 years later.
Look at that.
I know. That's
Look
how my volley
that works.
That's how my volley career started. And my paid career started was I was working at State Parks. We were hosting the air show, and I saw one of my buddies from Hempstead Fire Department. He was working there, and I was like, how'd you get the gig here? Yeah, we're hiring. I took the quick test, and long story short, I got the job, and I've been there for about 6 years now.
Wow.
So yeah.
6 years.
Yeah.
So, all right, so with that said, I don't know much about being a fireman at the airport. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of listeners that don't know either. So I need you to walk me through a typical day. Now, for the volleys, a typical day starts on a Sunday. We training, yeah, doing this. But now as a paid fireman, this is an everyday gig. So yeah, walk me through a shift. And first, what are the shifts? 24?
No, we're not. We're 8-hour shifts. There's 13 of us. And we're only 8 hours because it has to become an agreement where everybody, if we wanted to do 24s or 12s, all the membership would have to agree to it. We have some senior guys who have...
Like, I'm not working 24.
Yeah, no, they'd rather have their weekends off. And I'm not mad at them because I'm one shy guy of being a senior guy. So I'm thinking, like, if I become that senior guy, I might keep my weekends too. So it sounds cool now because I'm just a little guy. But, like, when I become a senior guy, like, yeah, I might want to keep my weekends too.
And the family. And everything happens.
And that's one of the reasons why I chose the night shifts. Like, I'm on nights now and I go to work, I get out, put my kids to bed, go to work, come home. My kids are waking up for school and I put them on the bus and I do my errands during the day.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, there's one thing that if anybody noticed, he didn't say sleep.
No.
How about sleep?
Sleep. we're allowed to get our shut eyes here and there. Nothing crazy at work.
Because you said you come from work and then you go right with the kids, you do your errands. Like, I would think you'd sleep sometime in there at home.
I don't get that much sleep. I can do 4 hours and be good for a couple of days. It's crazy.
A couple of days.
That's what, because the volley in me, like, you never sleep, but the radios are, like, even at work, when I shut my eyes at work, I'm constantly listening to the radio. I can't really sleep well. So it's like, even with the volleys, like, you got the radio, your pager, and that goes off, it's game on, and you can't get back to sleep after that. So
that's it.
It's like, done. Because of the volleys, I get no sleep. This is pure coffee and energy right here.
That's it, man.
I
got you walking through this right
now. That was it, man.
I love it. But yeah, so walk me through a day at the airport, at Republic.
Well, depending on the shift, we have three shifts there. Our rotations change every week with, you know, our house assignments, from rig cleaning to house cleaning to... I forgot. We have another job, but I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But we have pretty much every shift. Everybody gets on. You check the rigs, check the fuel, check the saws, check the tools. I mean, you wash the rigs. The same old fire stuff. The same stuff that we do in the volleys. We're doing it at work, except paid. And we're doing it more often because we're doing it on a daily because we're paid. Versus at the volley house, when you do it, you know, twice a week, maybe a Wednesday, maybe a Friday, maybe a Sunday, depending on what fire department you're in. Because when I was in Freeport, we did it Friday nights when I was in Hose 1. And now that I'm in Lakeview, we do Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. So it depends on what organization you belong to. But just to go back to the paid, at work, it's an everyday thing. Guys come in, we want to make sure the rig is good to roll. Because, we have two rigs. So one goes down, we have a backup rig. So, I mean, there's always, like, usually three or four guys on the shift. Our training days are pretty much Wednesday mornings and Thursday afternoons. We have heavy guys on. And.
So how do you get training at working at night then?
Well, the one thing about the night guys is myself and another guy, one of my bosses, I work with both volleys. Mm-hmm. So, firematically, we're pretty much good. We have one person with us who happens to be new to firefighting. So, you know, we can help out with her training and whatnot. But at night, we go in, we do what we need to do. And, you know, we're on guard. I mean, granted, the Republic Airport, the tower closes at 11. So the entire night, it's like free airspace. Their planes can come and go as they please. Wow. They don't have to announce, or they do announce when they're landing or departing.
Wow.
So it's risky. It's crazy. So with us at night, you definitely have to be on your A game.
Toes.
Because at work during the day, the tower's always telling guys what to do, where to go. Mm-hmm. Now at night, when the tower's closed, and if that pilot wants to announce or not announce, it's up to him or her totally. It's risky at night.
Dangerous. They don't have nothing in play for that.
Nothing. I mean,
I guess if you know, there's not enough tons of things going on there.
We get a lot of air traffic at night. Believe it or not, we get the Islanders. They fly into our airport.
Okay.
They come in with a 737 during hockey season, and then their guest teams come into the. We got a lot of internationals too. So you get the 737s or, you know, King Airs or stuff like that, Lear Jets. We get jets flying a lot. So and we have a lot of schools there. So. Big up to those guys. And they're...
Oh, like aviation schools.
Aviation schools. We have at least maybe six. I could be wrong the number. But those guys, they got to get their night flying in too. So
that's right.
They have to fly at night. It's busy. So again, like, we at nighttime, we have to be on an A game. That's it.
So that's a full day, which to me is, you know, and I'm pretty sure to some of the listeners that have never heard of that, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and it's interesting to do that, to now have to not just look at, you know, actual building that's on fire, yeah. which is really what just a box over a box that's yeah. on fire. You're looking at a plane.
Yeah.
And things change.
Definitely, because we go from we're pretty much a foam unit.
I was going to ask that. Is it water or foam?
It's both. We do both. Both rigs carry 1,500 gallons of water.
Okay.
Both of water, but we can mix it with the foam or Purple K.
Okay.
Most likely, we're going to go into foam operations if we have a fire, because that Jet A or Avgas, which is the Avgas, is more dangerous. I can't give you the numbers of the Avgas, but right now it's off my head. But that's more dangerous than any fire that I ever fought, man. I'd rather you could throw me into a whole bunch of house fires, I'll be good. But an Avgas fire might scare me.
Yeah, it's a big much.
It's a big much.
Talking about that.
Yeah.
20 years, you said,
yes.
in the fire service in a hole.
In a hole.
In a hole, 20
this
years.
Summer, this summer, I'm sorry. This summer, I'm not my age.
This summer.
This
summer, 20 years. You got 20 years this year. 2024 is 20 years. I got to know. You got stories, man.
Yeah, man.
You got stories. So I need some stories. Let's start with the volleys.
Okay.
I need a story in the volleys. Best fire or most, not even could be a fire, most memorable situation that happened in the firehouse. Talk to me.
Best fire, I would not to say best fire, but most strange fire was a Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah,
Hurricane Sandy. That's something I can think of right now. I'm sure I probably had more, but Hurricane Sandy, man, we're at the firehouse. I was in Hose One at the time in Freeport, and we were sitting there, and it was a news channel that came up to us, and they were asking if they could follow us around for the day. We had to ask the village mayor at the time. He finally gave us the okay that they can follow us, and I kid you not, the moment that we hung up the phone with the mayor that we got the okay, go across for the house fire. Fire time for Freeport, house fire down south. It was that one of the south streets, and mm-hmm. I'm telling you, by the time we got the rig down there, we had the GI, the government issue flood truck. And by the time we got down there, it had to be 6 feet of water. It was Hurricane Sandy, bro.
It was insane.
It was insane. Yeah,
we were our own fire company.
It was every department was on dispatcher. Nobody,
and they were just dispatching and call after call after call after call. Like, you had to be there.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that people don't remember, which I'm pretty sure you remember, and the people that did respond in Sandy, the weather.
Oh,
how it was hot, then cold, it was beautiful weather.
It was disgusting.
It was insane.
It was disgusting, man.
It was especially out there in Freeport.
Yeah, we had the water, man. We had everything.
Seeing a boat at 7-Eleven upside down.
I was watching cars float down the street, dumpsters, ice machines, you name it. Like heavy stuff that you couldn't pick up as a person. You just float down the street like it was normal.
Water coming in your rig. I remember we had sent some guys out there to you. We sent our brush truck.
Yeah, you sent your brush truck out.
And they said there was water pouring in the cab.
We lost our brush truck, man. Freeport lost their, Hose One lost their brush truck because of the heavy amount of water we were getting, man.
It's insane.
It was crazy, but by the time we got to the house fire, man, I'm telling you, I was drained from walking from the rig to the house fire, and just to make the first initial push, it was just like I forgot to throw my Nomex hood over my head. I got in there, and it was just my ears are on fire, man. My ears were on fire. I remember just coming out of the building, and I mean, I ducked down, and I was in a fetal position. I'm telling you, because like this is hot. I didn't realize I didn't put my hood on. We were just going. I'm fighting water to get to this thing, and I pack up nothing, and I remember just getting out, and my ears are just, guys, like your ears are just bubbling, bro. They were blistering up. And just to fight that fire and just a wind-driven fire, that's the only fire I've ever been burned in, so that's why it's memorable to me.
That's
so
why
I remember, man. I always
spent some time in the burn unit at...
Yeah. I didn't get to the burn unit. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad of a burn. It was just my ears bubbling, and it was sandy. We were just running. Maybe if it wasn't sandy and it was that one fire, I might have went to the burn unit. But
you were like, I gotta keep going.
But my adrenaline was still going. We went from fire calls to water rescue calls back and forth. So it was an interesting storm. It was 100. Yeah, that was the 100-year storm is what they call it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was
that was a time. That was a time that I think everybody in the volunteer services will remember. Mm-hmm. That if you were responding to that, you'll never forget that.
Never.
And a lot of people, just so listeners know, he was out there, I was out there. Our families are at home.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the dark at home because there's no electricity.
None.
They're at the dark at home. I think the tree fell behind my house. So in the middle of us responding, we pull up to my house, we cut the tree down.
Cut the tree and keep it moving. That's what it was, kept it moving.
She called me, I'm like, hey, it's down. I'm like, all right, I'm over there. We cut it down, I'm back out.
Yeah.
So just understand that, for volunteers, as they're doing what they do, our families are at home while mm-hmm. When there's something going on.
Every single time.
Every time.
Not just Sandy, every single time.
Every single time?
Every single
That's
time.
Right. Just move the mic just a little bit closer.
Sorry.
You're good. You can sit back.
All right. I bet.
A little closer. So that was volleys. Mm-hmm. I need to know something paid. Any memorable situations, any fires. I know everybody wants to know something about a plane fire. Everybody's listening to like...
Well, believe it or not, we've I've been at the airport 6 years. I've responded to at least 4 aviation crashes.
Okay.
Again, pilot error, you know, it just because pilots got lazy and didn't check on their fuel before they took off.
Okay.
A lot of the crashes we've had have been crashes where there's no fire involved only because the lack of fuel. We've had a plane... I responded to 3 where... We're driving, we're looking for this crash, thinking we're going to find fire or smoke, and nothing. Some guys are just getting the negligence, that we're negligence. Granted, you crash your aircraft, you got to realize it's not just you. You could potentially crash into somebody's house or somewhere. It's dangerous. So like,
and it's the other people on the plane with.
I mean, sometimes you get people on the plane with them. Sometimes you have just the pilot himself. Again, I've been to several crashes at the airport. Coming into the airport, leaving the airport. Mm-hmm. And it's just, we had one guy take off from our airport. He thought he could make it to Jersey or something. He tried to get cheaper fuel out of Jersey. And then when he left the airport.
So it's his own plane.
It was his own aircraft.
Okay.
Pilot 30 was 30 can make it get cheaper fuel. Then I remember just listening to the radio because we monitored the tower during the day. And he was just like, you know, whatever. I'm not repeating the tail number, but just he lost his one engine. So I heard it, and I was working with another member from the Merrick Fire Department. Shout out to Merrick. We heard the call come in. We took off, and by the time we got downstairs to the rig, because we no longer had the tower in the rig, our dispatch told us that he lost his second engine. And I'm just telling you, just watching this aircraft just go from here to here and into the brush line, it was just game over. Let's go. Now we had to help and find this guy. So
And you're not just putting and when you think of a fireman at that works at the airport, you're thinking fire automatically.
No.
You're not just responding just to fire.
Yeah, it was pretty rescue. Much a rescue.
You got to get in there and go get this guy out.
Yeah, because so, the title of our it's an acronym, ARF, Airport Rescue Firefighting. So that's what the ARF stands for. So it's like the rescue part in there too. So we're always if we're not doing firefighting, we're doing rescue, and it's all affiliated with the airports. So
does that mix with? I assume, of course, with passengers, not just it's everybody.
It's everybody.
It's everyone. Like you're who they're calling when something happens at Republic.
Yes, because they train us. They send us away to schooling. I didn't mention that before. Even though my 20 years as being a fireman, all of us had to go away to fire school for. Aviation fire.
Yeah. So it's totally different.
It's totally different because the ABGAS and the Jet A. But I went away to Rochester. There's an academy in Rochester. They sent me and a buddy, a couple of us away. There's academies all over the world, but they pretty much sent us to Rochester. And we went there and we learned, you know, how to properly enter an aircraft, how to properly egress from an aircraft, and how to, you know, properly put water down on an aircraft that's on fire. For the most part, so just to jump back into that, just the negligence of all that, all the emergencies I responded to, which is all pretty much negligence.
That's what it is.
Like pretty much, like, it's just like a pilot will never, they'll never put the blame on themselves. They try to pass it to somebody else, and that's cool. I mean, who doesn't?
I guess my question would be: is this because you're at Republic? Like, if you get which you're going to,
I hope so. Yes,
get over to MacArthur.
Yes.
Will that then change? Then meaning like it wouldn't be so much negligence because now this is a different airport. This is an actual commercial airport.
Yeah.
Will that those things change? Like,
I mean, no matter
more at there. I know you're not there, but what could happen more there that you would see?
I feel like anywhere in the world, it's negligence on everybody's part. So like, it's not just like the airport. It's not just pilots. People, even myself, negligence and stuff like that. Sometimes I'll skip something, you know, and like it's just be mindful. Like, if you're going to do something like that, and you're taking off in an aircraft, there's families, there's houses that, you know, you could potentially add to casualties. So, every day somebody's doing something negligent, and not going to what I hope it never comes back to bite me.
With an airplane,
there's no joke. Like, you can run out of gas in a car. You can't run out and just pull over. Like, it's like, I'm afraid to run out of gas on my motorcycle sometimes. Like, it's like, that's 2 wheels. Like, that's not.
Imagine up in the air.
Up in the air. Like, bro, I don't have any gas. Like, I'm on E. Like, I got no, like, you can glide only so far, bro. So,
and then that's it.
That's game over. But just to jump back to MacArthur, I don't know MacArthur's, how they handle things out there. I know they do run as an aviation fire department, and they have a Class A pumper where they can respond outside the airport as well. I mean, we do as well, but they have a Class A pumper.
How about, Because I'm pretty sure as me, as well as listeners, how about JFK and LaGuardia? Is that FDNY?
No.
Or is that another that, sector?
That JFK, LaGuardia, and Newark, they're all pretty much Port Authority.
Okay.
So Port Authority is like, you know, police slash fire or vice, whatever they want to do, vice versa. No, that's where I work for right now. My job now is it's a private company that hires firemen or aviation knowledgeable people.
Okay.
And they send us to school to become firemen for the airport.
Okay.
And we're there 24/7. So, I mean, MacArthur is a civil service gig, and that's what I'm trying to get next. So,
you got that. You got that.
I hope so.
You're going to get in there. So, and I know we kind of touched on this question
before, but
just if you could just elaborate a little bit more. Like, again, we move from, you know, we're volunteers, especially me, but then you move to the paid. Like, what made you say, I want to do the paid? I know the story of how you got it.
Okay.
What made you say, I want this to be my life? Like, this is what I want
well,
to do.
Well, I always, I love being a volley. The volley was fun. It is still fun. The paid came at me, you know, just the things that I knew I could probably bring to the table at the airport. Because, again, my airport's not that big of an airport, not that busy of an airport, not a lot of experience firemen. And not to knock anybody who I work with, but just the fact that I can just, I love to train. I have some experience that I can bring to the table firematically. But one of the biggest decisions to go paid was money, man. Let me tell you. It's like, yo, we live on Long Island, bro. We live on Long Island. Like, I love my airport. Yeah, I love my airport now. It's 15 minutes away from my home. And but if MacArthur's about an hour or so away from me, that's more money too. So don't get me wrong. I love my skills. I love my guys at work. I love training, but you know, we live on Long Island, bro.
And I gotta pay. I got a house. Yeah, I got kids.
Mortgage ain't no joke. I know, and my kids play sports too, so it's no joke.
It's no joke paying for that. All right, so people that are listening, they're either firemen or want to become firemen or anything like that. What is a piece of information or advice you can give to someone that is just starting out or is thinking about starting out?
Oh yeah, definitely.
And then wanting to move to the next step. What's a good piece of advice?
Well, just as a brand new volley fireman, or you know, if you happen to take the civil service test and become a paid guy, listen to the senior man. Take any advice you could. No disrespect, but be seen, not heard. That means not in a disrespectful way, but just be seen, not heard. As in, if somebody's talking, if trying to pass you advice, just take it all in. Be a sponge. You know, I mean, nowadays a lot of these young guys come in like they know it all already, and it's just like, listen. When I first got in here, I was mopping floors. I was cleaning bathrooms. I was doing it. Nowadays, I see a lot of these people a lot of these firehouses have paid house cleaners. Like,
yeah.
Yo, it's like, paid house cleaners.
What was this at when I was
talking? Don't got to mop the floors. That's what I said. Like, it's like, yo, so just be a sponge, man. Just take it all in and take every service test you got. Even if it's not fire department, just take it, man. Have a backup plan. You always want a backup plan and just... Stay focused.
That's a fact. Yeah. I love that. Stay focused. Yeah. I heard that.
Stay focused.
From Darnell. Stay focused. All right. So I got a couple more questions.
But first,
I want to know something. What is a common myth about firefighters that you'd like to debunk right now?
Common myth? There's
a lot of common myths of this and that. What's something that you would want to debunk right now for the listeners?
What am I debunking right now? Oh, man. That dang calendar. You know those that FDNY calendars, guys? Not all of us are built like that, guy. Like, not all of us, ladies and gentlemen, not all of us are built like that.
So y'all can see.
Yeah, not, like, listen, I wear dark colors and shirts all the time. You never go. There's no sit back. I'm going to go set my house on fire so a firemaker show up, bro. I'm telling you, you're not going to be happy. You are not going to be happy when you show up to your house and we look not like the calendar. You just wasted all that fire insurance for no reason. Because we are coming and we ain't pretty. We're getting a job that ain't gonna be pretty. I'm telling you, because once that fire's out, we gotta take our jackets off and it's gonna be bellies hanging out.
There you go.
I'm telling you, the ladies and gentlemen, don't do it.
Don't do it. The calendar.
I'm debunking
not
that calendar. And all those TV shows out there, I'm debunking any of that stuff too. We do not look like that. We are coming, but we ain't pretty. The prettiest things about us is our rigs. That's about it. The prettiest things about us firemen are our rigs. I'm telling you, it's not happening.
Brand new clean tape and tape tool. That's the prettiest thing. All right. So talking about movies, listen.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me started.
First, before we even get into that, we play a game that is called The Flash. Flashover.
Okay.
So basically, the flashover is I'll give you two things. You got to tell me which one is the best, right?
Okay.
So I may say like Android and Apple. And you got to tell me which one.
Okay.
But you got to be quick.
Okay.
But before we start, what is a flashover? Tell the everyone what a flashover is.
A climatically flashover?
Climatically, what's a flashover?
Well, I can tell you right now, you want to avoid a flashover.
There you go.
Those things are not pretty. As a fireman, you, a lot of guys that see flashovers, oh my God, you got me, you caught me on the spot. it's pretty much, I'm going to butcher this, so bear with me. I'm going to explain it in layman's terms, where it's pretty much, you know, you're at the front door. I'm going to use front door, for example. You're at the front door, you open it. I'm thinking backdraft. Same thing. But you open the door, you get all that fire, that smoke. You can see actually your flashover starting with the smoke, and then you know, give that appropriate amount of oxygen, and then bam, you got that flashover. And it's something.
Same time, ignites.
It ignites at the same time, and it's something that you know every fireman pretty much dreads. I mean, yes. Eventually, there's not a fireman that I know of who has to come across a flashover or a backdraft, and it's scary. So
scary. Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. All right, so with that said, that was the meaning of flashover. We're going to play a game called flashover,
right?
Oh, gosh. So I'm going to give you two things. Uh-huh. You got to tell me which one, but you got to be quick with it.
Just
like a flashover real quick.
All right.
All right? So you ready?
Let's do it.
Here we go. This is the flashover.
I hate you.
Here we go. Chicago Fire, rescue me.
Rescue me? Are you kidding?
Rescue me, third watch.
Ooh, third watch.
Backdraft, ladder 49.
Oh, my, that's not fair. Can I go 60-40? Backdraft.
Backdraft. And the most important question I'm going to ask you today, engine or truck?
Oh, my God, engine. Come on. Engine, I'm an engine guy, man.
The red stuff.
On the red stuff.
Oh, baby,
that was ladder 49, a backdraft.
That's beautiful.
Those are the best. Those are the best.
Like the
I had to go backdraft. I'm an OG.
I had to go backdraft.
But if I was a new fireman, I would have said ladder 49 because that's what I saw first. Oh, man, that's horrible.
So with that said, since we're talking about movies,
yeah.
Talking about debunking, what in these movies, backdraft, ladder 49, Chicago Me, what is something that you've seen exaggerated, and what is something that you've seen kind of like, you know what, that's what we do?
Yeah. Exaggeration, I've never seen it. I've never been to a fire where I had to stand up and talk to a fireman across the room.
Let me tell you, everybody that has sat in your chair has said the same.
Same thing. I've never seen it, but like I can tell you right now, I used to watch, my wife would contest this. I was at home one day watching Chicago Fire, one of those Chicago, and then I might add a couple of drinks to me, and I'm like, I can't do this. Like, I'm drinking, like, watching, like, I'm arguing with the TV, and she's like, you can't watch this show ever again at home, even when you're drunk, because she's like, they're just standing up and talking, walking around. Then they threw a ladder. They threw an extension ladder from one building to another building and climbed out to the and pulled the hose line with them. I says, I don't know what world you come from, but pulling a hose line on the ground is hard, let alone out of a window on an extension ladder to another apartment.
Across. Are you?
How about we just go to the other building and stretch up our front standpipe? You name it. I promise you, you could probably put the fire out better that way. But realistically, that has never happened. You're never standing up in a fire and you're never talking to the next fireman. And that's like, you're talking to the guy like you know who he is. Like, bro, I could be in a fire with Super and not know it's Super.
Not even know.
Like, yo, I'm sitting there like, yo, keep it moving.
Who are you?
Like, who are you?
Only thing that'll tell us, sometimes we can see the patch.
That's about it. Maybe. Yeah, that's about it.
I still don't know who it is. I don't know who it is.
Yeah, man, this guy, like, you've never met him before. You've known this guy your entire life almost. So that's something I can debunk about that. You're never standing up. But realistically, what all these shows and movies, I think just the lights and sirens. That's it. I don't need to know about drama. I don't need to know about, you know, that's lights and sirens in the rigs. I mean, the placement of the rigs, maybe that's about it. Other than that, I don't think I've seen anything that I can agree with all these shows. Like, I almost tell myself, like, who are these people that are in the background telling these directors and actors, this is how
this is how it's done.
I don't get it.
I guess they got to dramatize it a little bit to make it interesting.
I get it. Like, it's like me. Like, I watch these cop shows. I'm not a cop, but I'm like, oh, my God, this is how they really do it. I'm like, I'm probably sure that's a cop at home watching. This is not how it's done. So, yeah that's how I get it.
So, I got one of my last questions. Go for it. And I want to start with Volley because this is, you know, a Volley show.
Go for it.
And that a lot of the times is what made everybody move into paid and everything like that. So
go for it.
Just overall, how has being a volunteer changed your life
in a whole?
And this will, of course, incorporate paid, but how has it changed your life in a whole?
Yeah, the volleys has changed my life in a whole. I mean, you got to think the friendships have come out of this. If I wasn't a volunteer, I wouldn't know you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be on the show. I wouldn't know half the guys that we spoke about before we went on the air. I wouldn't know half these guys. And those guys have been major, including yourself, been major role models at me being a young guy. Because all you guys, everybody you mentioned, all you guys are older than me. Like, I'm 38. And just watching you guys come up and just, okay, this is how Super's doing it. Or Renan or Cameron Peak and all those guys out there. Like, dang, this is what I want to be. So, firematically, they set the tone for me. Family-wise, they set the tone for me. Out of the volley life, that's, I mean, where I am at now at home, it's just like the volunteer fire organization, I watch people grow and I watch senior guys grow and like, and I watch them with their family and like they're family oriented. So granted, not to say that if I wasn't a volley, I wouldn't turn out the way I am, but I'm happy that I turned out the way I am because of the, some of you guys, some of you big brothers out there. So
I love that. Well, listen, thank you for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
Anything that you want to say before I get out of here, before we're done, anything?
Just the volunteers, man. Just get out there, knock on your local firehouse and become a fireman. I mean, we're hurting for volunteers, man. Yeah, eventually, you're going to go pay, man.
Come down.
Sunday mornings, you pick your neighborhood firehouse, knock on the door, and go from there, man. Go from there.
I love it. Ira, listen, thank you so much for coming through.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
So, listen, you have just heard from Darnell Parian about his life as a firefighter. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Please like, share, subscribe. I am your host, Chris Moses, a.k.a. Super. And thank you for coming. And I hope you had a great time for this firehouse conversation that we just had here. Thanks for coming.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
All right.